Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
When you understand that your old sinful nature, that old man is gone, and you are now a brand new person, as you renew your mind to that, you will bring forth fruit unto God.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. I'm in a series where I'm teaching verse by verse through the book of Romans. And I tell you, this is awesome truth, but it is frustrating for me because I know that what I'm saying is contrary to what I would say 90% of you watching this have ever heard. And I know that's a huge statement, but I've ministered, for 53 years, and I have just, every time I've taught on these things, people just go wild because this is so contrary to our religious traditions. And so as I minister, I know that people are having, what about this and what about that? And not everybody has watched these programs for 5 weeks. This is my fifth week of teaching verse by verse. And Paul in the book of Romans has built up to these truths. And so I'm saying things that are completely consistent with the Word of God and with what Paul said, but it is so contrary to our religious traditions, and I just want to constantly go in and explain things, and if I do that, I'll never make any progress here. So, I'm basically putting a disclaimer on some of the things I'm going to say today, that this is so contrary to what most of us have heard that many people will just reject it out of hand. I'm asking you to please get these materials. I've got this book, a brand new book out that is verse by verse teaching through the book of Romans. It has my living commentary footnotes in it, plus teaching that I've done here. And we've got CDs, DVDs, we've got Grace Encounters, we've got my living commentary that goes along with it. I've got a lot of material, and I encourage you to please get it. You can go to my website and get this teaching free of charge. It's not that I'm after the money, it's I'm just trying to get these truths across, and I'm saying that it's hard to say the things that I'm saying because most of us don't have ears to hear. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7 that tradition and doctrine of men make the Word of God of none effect. And what Paul is saying here is way against our religious traditions today, and it's just hard to say some of these things because of this. So, anyway, that's my disclaimer. Please get the materials, if at all possible. We are making them as available to you as we possibly can, but I promise you, these truths would change your life. So let me just back up and go run at this again from what I was saying yesterday in verse 5. This is Romans chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law actually gave action. It gave traction to sin. It gave sin an opportunity in our life. As 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the strength of sin is the law. The law made sin come alive on the inside of us. So when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The fruit of the law is death. I use those scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. It says that the ministration of death written and engraven in stones. And then in verse 9, it says the ministration of condemnation. The law was a ministration of death and condemnation. That's the fruit that it produced. In verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. Talking about our old sinful nature that was under the law is now dead and gone, and we are now free to serve Him in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is Paul saying that the law is sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. What a radical, radical statement. The law actually made sin come alive. The law actually empowered sin. And people who are trying to relate to God on the basis of the law, or you could say it this way, on the basis of your performance. If you are trying to live holy and therefore have a relationship with God because you are doing everything right, that produces death. The law wasn't given to encourage you, to build you up. It was given to tear you down and to show you how sinful you are. If you did 99 things right out of 100, the law wouldn't say, way to go. You're doing better. You make a 99 on this test. No, the law would focus on the one thing you did wrong, and it would condemn you and say you deserve to go to hell because you missed it in this one area. That's the way the law is. The law is a taskmaster. The law was given to show you your sin. It made sin come alive. It was a ministration of death. It was a ministration of condemnation. Man, if you could understand this, it would explain why so many people aren't experiencing the freedom and the liberty that God intended for us because they are still law-minded. There's some of you watching this program think, no, I'm not under the law. I don't observe the dietary laws. I don't observe, you know, the feast days and things like this. I'm not living under the Old Testament law. Well, it's like you're going down the same road. You've just changed vehicles, but you're on the same road headed to the same destination. Now, instead of having to keep the feast days and the Passover and to do all of these things, now you got to go to church. Now you got to pay your tithes. Now you got to read the Bible an hour a day. You got to have a 30-minute devotion. You got to do these things. It's the same mentality. And if you are thinking that somehow or another what you are doing is what's making you acceptable to God, then you are under the law. You may have New Testament laws instead of Old Testament laws, but it's still the law mentality. And that brings forth fruit unto death. And so again, in verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, that's uncontrolled, unrestrained lust. The law actually made us lust for things. You know, if I was to tell you that, if you could go 1 year without ever, eating chocolate. And if you went 1 year without eating chocolate, I'll give you $1 million. There's some of you that don't even like chocolate, that all of a sudden you would start having a desire for it. When you were told that you can't do this in order to get that, then it makes that lust for that come up on the inside of you. And if I increased it by saying, not only do you not eat the chocolate, but you can't even desire it. You can't even think about chocolate for the next year. And that's what Jesus did over in the book of Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount. If you commit adultery, of course, that's wrong. But if you lust in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. If you murder someone, that's wrong. But if you hate them in your heart, you're guilty of murder. He put the thoughts in there as also being an action of sin. So if I was to say you have to go 1 year without eating or even desiring or even thinking about chocolate, I guarantee you there's some of you that don't even like chocolate that would start lusting for it if I said that. There's just something inside of people that when you say, thou shalt not, something says, bless God, I shall. We lust for the very thing we are commanded that we can't have. And that's what that verse 8 is saying. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. Man, that's an awesome statement. In verse 9, it says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. I mentioned this at the end of my program yesterday, and I really ran out of time. But it says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Notice it says sin revived. It didn't say that sin came. Sin was already present. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So let me just try and say some things real quickly here. Again, this is going to go so contrary to so many people's religious training that it's hard to say these things with because people, it's just so different. But when a child is born, we talk about how sweet and how innocent that child is. That child is born with a sin nature. A little tiny baby, I guarantee you, you don't have to teach a child to be selfish and to hate other people and to think that the world revolves around me. That is the way that all of us were born. And I've already dealt with that. Romans chapter 5, there were many times it says, by one man sin entered the world and death by sin. Your individual sins are not what makes you a sinner. You were born with a sin nature. And if you don't train a child and teach them in the proper way, that sin nature, I guarantee you, it is selfish. It would kill, it will steal, it will take toys from another kid. You are born with a sin nature, but until the time that you reach what is commonly called an age of accountability, to where you know that what you are doing is not only a sin against your parents, it's violating what they told you, or it's a sin against your teacher or some person in authority, but when you finally are able to connect the dots and you know that this is wrong in the sight of God. Each one of us has an intuitive knowledge of God that we call the conscience. And that conscience will tell us what right and wrong is. And there's a time that a child reaches a place to where I am not just sinning against the authority that's in my life. This is against God. God is telling you don't do it, and you say, I'm going to do it anyway. Until the time that you knowingly violate that conscience and you know that, God, this is, I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Until that time, if a child was to die, then that's what it says, I was alive without the law once. Until the time that the law comes, until you know that you are violating God's command, if a person was to die in that situation, that sin is not imputed unto them when there is no law. If a child was to die, even though they were born with a sin nature, they still go to be with the Lord. And I could give you many scriptures on that, but David talked about his child in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and he says, I'm going to go to that child, but he will not come to me. David wasn't going to go to hell. He was going into the presence of God. And so that's a statement that that child, when they died at birth, they went to be with the Lord. Even though the scripture teaches that we were born with a sin nature, that sin is not imputed until the law comes, until we knowingly violate the command of God. And at that time, if we sin knowingly, then after that, if we were to die without receiving the salvation that Jesus provided, that person would go to hell. And so this age of accountability, it varies greatly. Some people think it's like when you become a teenager, and that's why they have confirmation things. And from that time on, a child is accountable for their own actions. Prior to that, if they were to die, they would go to be with the Lord, even though they certainly have done things wrong and have been selfish and may have lied and done things. But until they know that it's wrong, until they violate knowingly the law, then it's not held against them. With me, it happened at 8 years old. I remember exactly when I knew that what I was doing was wrong in the sight of God, not just wrong in the sight of my parents. And man, I repented and I got born again. So that happened with me at 8 years old. I believe it can happen earlier than that. I believe that some people, if they are born with some kind of mental condition, you know, if they aren't fully functional, they may never reach an age of accountability if they weren't totally conscious of what they're doing, if their mind wasn't working, if they had some kind of a disability. So anyway, this is what it's talking about, that I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, that's talking about when you knowingly violated God's law, not just somebody else's law, but you know you're sinning against God, then sin revived and I died. And in verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Sin actually gained opportunity or gained control over us through the law. Now, why would God give us something that would allow sin to gain control over us? As it says in 1 Corinthians 15:56, the strength of sin is the law. Why would God give something to strengthen sin instead of strengthening us? And again, I've said this before. I hadn't got time to go back and fully explain this. Please get the material. But sin here is not talking about individual actions of sin. It's talking about the sin nature, this sinful part of us that we were born in trespasses and sin. Why did God give something that actually strengthened and empowered and gave this sinful nature an opportunity to dominate us? Why would God do that? The reason is because sin had already destroyed us. We were sinners and didn't know it. And we were comparing ourselves among ourselves and looking at somebody over here who's a rapist and a murderer and just, you know, a terrible person and thinking, well, I'm better than that. And so I'm sure that God's going to accept me because I'm better than this person over here. See, that's what the Pharisee did with the publican. Jesus gave that parable and he says, you know, speaking, the Pharisee was speaking and he says, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and I'm not like other people, like this publican over here. The Bible says it's unwise to compare yourselves among yourselves. And yet this is what people do all of the time. And so people were thinking, well, I'm not as bad as this person. You know, Cain, he killed a person, but his great-great-great-grandson came along and says, I killed a person, but mine was in self-defense. If God protected Cain, then God is going to protect Lamech 70 and sevenfold. God didn't say that. Lamech said it. Lamech was comparing himself among himself, with other people. And because of that, he was thinking, surely God's going to accept me. He didn't realize that sin is sin. It doesn't matter if you're a big sinner or a little sinner. The wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. So the reason God gave the law, which strengthened sin, which made sin come alive, the reason God did that was to bring you out of deception so that you wouldn't think, well, I'm better than this person, and so I'm pretty good. God's going to accept me. God gave the law, and when he did, it made sin revive. Not the individual actions, but this sin nature. It made this sin nature just come alive, and it rebelled at these commands of God. And God knew this would happen. The reason he gave the law, he knew that when he says, thou shalt not, and when he began to start telling you exactly what he intended man to be, he knew that that sinful nature on the inside of man would rebel at this and come to the surface. It would flush out the ungodliness in us so that people would say, oh God, look at who I am. Forgive me. And it would make us throw ourselves upon him for mercy instead of justice. You know, I used to work in a photography studio and we would make these pictures of people and we had a joke among ourselves. We didn't really say this to the customers, but when they left, we would say these kind of things. But women would come in and they'd look at this picture and they'd say, oh, this picture doesn't do me justice. And they would just talk about how terrible it was. And we would try and tell them, you know, I think it really looks good. You look very nice. And what they were doing, they were just searching for a backhanded compliment. They were going to criticize their picture, hoping that you would come along and think, oh no, you really look beautiful in this. And so that's what we would say to the people. But when they would leave, we would make a joke and say, you know, that lady says this picture doesn't do me justice. And we'd say, lady, you don't need justice. You need mercy. Amen. And that's what the law was for. People thinking, it's not fair. God didn't do this for me. I'm a good person. I've done this. And God says, you want justice? Do you want me to give you justice? And so he says, here's my standard. And he gave such a high standard of performance, not to, he didn't want to condemn you, but you needed to be condemned. You needed to recognize you don't need justice, you need mercy. So he would give this standard that what it would do is make this sinful nature rise up. And it would show you that, oh God, I'm so ungodly. And the purpose of the law was to amplify, to show you your sin so that you would turn from self-righteousness and turn to God. So it goes on and says this in verse 12. It says, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. The law wasn't death. The law wasn't bad, but you were bad. I was bad. We were sinners and we didn't even know it because we were comparing ourselves. And so it says, God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. This is why God gave the commands. Not to free you, not to help you overcome sin, but to help sin overcome you, to amplify sin, to make that sinful nature rise up and to show you that sin, this sinful nature was exceedingly sinful. You know, I'm a person that I was raised in church. I've been serving God my whole life, and I've never said a word of profanity. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never tasted coffee. I have lived a supernatural life separated from many of the things that people call sin. But I have sinned. I've been selfish. I've exalted my own thing. I've criticized other people. I've talked about it. I've done things wrong. And who wants to be the best sinner that ever went to hell? People who are relatively good to other people have a tendency to trust in themselves. But God gave the law to make sin come alive and to make sin become exceedingly sinful. And you know what? Through the law did a good thing in me. It showed me that I could never be good enough. I might be better than somebody else, but I'll never be as good as God intended me to be. And the law did a good thing in me. It condemned me and showed me who wants to be the best sinner that ever got sent to hell. I was a sinner, and there's not a hell number two or a hell number three. If you've sinned and come short of the glory of God, you must repent and receive salvation through Jesus. So that's what the law did. It made sin become exceedingly sinful, and that was a positive purpose. It made me turn from my self-righteousness, and I needed salvation just as much as the rapist, as the murderer, as the person who's gone out and stolen and done everything else. I needed salvation, and all of the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Nobody is closer to God, has a step up on another. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and therefore the one answer for sin works for everybody. It'll work for the person who's murdered, lied, stolen, done everything. It'll work for the person who's a religious hypocrite and a very righteous person, but relative to other people, but nonetheless trusting in themselves. We all have to come to the foot of the cross and just receive salvation by grace, not through performance. On October the 4th through the 8th at our facilities in Caris Bible College, Woodland Park, Colorado, we're going to have our 2021 Ministers Conference. And I tell you, this is for people that are in full-time ministry. You have special needs. We are going to be ministering specifically to you. And it's just going to be an awesome time. We've got our regular speakers, myself, Bob Nichols, Bob Yandian, Carrie Pickett, Greg Moore, Dwayne Sheriff, and this year our guest is Jesse Duplantis. And so I encourage you to make plans to join us. It's going to be a great time at our Caris facilities, Woodland Park, Colorado, October the 4th through the 8th, our 2021 Ministers Conference.
Andrew is pleased to announce the release of his brand new hardback book titled Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace. This brand new book includes all of Andrew's personal study notes and commentary on the book of Romans, compiled from Andrew's Life for Today Study Bible and Living Commentary. This valuable resource is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, is also available in a CD or DVD album made from our daily television broadcast. Each of these valuable resources are available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This entire series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net to see all the ways you can get this teaching. Today, you heard Andrew's personal revelation on the book of Romans. You can study through the entire Bible with Andrew when you get his continually updated Living Commentary. This extraordinary resource contains his personal study notes, footnotes, and commentary on over 25,000 Bible verses. Andrew has priced this valuable study tool at only $120. Go to awmi.net to download yours today. Also today, Andrew's offering the Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs as his free gift to you when you write or call. This special offer is a $50 value, absolutely free when you contact us today. Or you can get each of these valuable resources as part of the Romans package. This package includes Andrew's Living Commentary, as well as the Romans, Paul's Masterpiece on Grace, hardback book, your choice of either the CD or DVD album, and Grace Encounters Volumes 1 and 2 DVDs. This incredible package has a catalog value of $275, but you can receive all of these valuable resources today for just $197. You can become a Grace Partner or order resources through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. You can also order resources or receive prayer by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline is open Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, and Saturday and Sunday from 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time.
I want to let you know that when you support Andrew Womack Ministries, that we also support a lot of other ministries. We actually started the Springs Rescue Mission that is now the largest distributor of food and clothing and furniture in all of Colorado Springs. We've got ministries to orphans. We've got ministries to children that have been caught in the sex trade. We support pregnancy centers. They've actually lowered the abortion rate in Colorado to one of the lowest in the nation. And there's just a lot of things we do. So when you support here, you are helping us reach people all over the world. I want to let you know that we have now started a Charis Daily Live Bible Study. We have 5 days a week. We've varied the times so that we can accommodate anybody's schedule. We're going to use our instructors from the school, and it'll be a blessing. So remember, we now have a Charis Daily Live Bible Study 5 days a week. I want to encourage you to get a brand new product that we are putting out that we've entitled Relationship University. So we've got 48 lessons by 8 different instructors from our Charis Bible College, and we also have 6 question and answer sessions in here. We've got not only the audio, but then we have all of these books that has this, all kinds of things. It's just a great product, but I encourage you to get this Relationship University, a brand new product.